program. It is not only a feast for the tongue, but is a feast for the ears and a feast for the eyes also. This is a complete feast where all the senses become satisfied. Is there anybody here for the first time? Okay, all these people who are here for the first time, let's give them a real warm welcome, three times the way we do here. Hut! And we hope you enjoy your stay and that you come back again. For anyone who's here on a regular basis, what I want to suggest is that if you have any questions or any doubts or anything you've ever thought about or everything you ever wondered about that you never had an opportunity to ask, now is your time to ask. In other words, this is going to be a Q&A, a questions and answers session, so that we can clear out the cobwebs and make everything clear as a bell so that everyone can have full comprehension of our Dharma, of our philosophy, of our practice about bhakti yoga. So is there anyone here who has a question to begin with?
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Prabhuji, thank you very much for the ecstatic kirtan. Prabhuji, my question is, like we are told that preaching is the greatest service. Means one of the, everyone should preach, everyone should try to inspire others. But the thing is that when we inspire others, then we try our, make our efforts, but people come and after some time people do not come, so it becomes very difficult. So my question is, till what extent we should call a person for regular programs, and means is there any or we should keep on calling a particular person?
Okay, so everyone understand the question? Okay, there are several points there that we should address first. First thing you said was that you understood that preaching is the greatest service. Is that the first thing you said? That's a mistake. We have to correct that mistake. Devotional service is on the absolute platform. Thinking that one thing is greater than another is the material platform. So if someone goes out and preaches and someone else washes the floor, someone else cleans the pot in the kitchen, it's all transcendental. It's all on the same transcendental platform. To put devotional service on a material platform, that my service is greater and your service is lesser, is a very bad thing. It's negative and it's divisive. It divides people. It doesn't give honor and respect to others. We're claiming all honor and respect for ourselves. I am the greatest and you're not the greatest. This is not a good idea. So we should understand that bhakti yoga is a transcendental process. Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita, Raja Vidya Raja Guyam Pavitram Idam Uttamam, that this knowledge that he's giving us is the topmost knowledge, it's the most confidential knowledge, it's the purest knowledge, and it's the transcendental knowledge. It's not of this world. If it was of this world, it could not deliver us back to the spiritual world, because that which is material gives material result, and that which is spiritual gives spiritual result. So this is a purely transcendental spiritual process where the means and the goal are the same. It's not that we do this to get that and then we don't need this anymore. It's all on the same transcendental platform. So we should be giving honor and respect to everyone who's engaged in this transcendental activity of glorifying the Lord. The other day, I gave this analogy, and I can give it again because you're mostly new people here. When Lord Ram was performing his pastimes, and he was going to Lanka, then Hanumanji, using his mystic power, he took huge boulders, wrote the name of Ram, and threw them in the ocean, and they floated, and he was building his bridge to Lanka. And while he was doing that, there was a squirrel up in a tree who became very inspired to see how wonderful he is serving the Lord. And he became so inspired that he also wanted to help in his serve the Lord also. So he came down from the tree and he began to kick in some stones to help Hanuman build the bridge. But Hanuman had this wrong idea. He was thinking that his service was greater. He says, "Out of the way, squirrel, I'm doing very big seva here. And I might step on you. You're in my way. Please move over because your contribution does not really help us." And Lord Ram said, "No, Hanuman. No, no. You are doing your best, but he's also doing his best. Therefore, you're equal in my eyes. We are equal in the eyes of God when we do our best. Doesn't matter if our best is big like this or our best is small like this. Best is best. And when you do your best, the Lord appreciates that. And because we're doing bhakti yoga, it's transcendental devotional service on the spiritual platform, there is no such thing as big and small service. It's all spiritual service, absolute spirit service. And that service is Sat Chit Ananda. It's eternal, full of knowledge, full of bliss. You cannot say that one is better than the other because then you're putting a material consciousness on it. So we may have material consciousness and we tend to put our material vision on this spiritual thing, bhakti yoga, but we shouldn't do that. That's a mistake. Because then we will commit offenses. We'll be committing offenses to people and to their service. And this won't help us in our advancement in spiritual life. So the first thing is to understand that all service to the Lord is seen by him with an equal eye, equal vision. I'll give you the example in Jagannath Puri. Jagannath Puri is the oldest tirtha on this planet. Goes back millions of years. And they're serving Lord Jagannath in a very particular way. That tradition is going on and on and on for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. So when you take Mahaprasad from Lord Jagannath, nobody sits on an asan. Because the Mahaprasad is on a leaf plate. And if you sit on an asan, you're higher than Mahaprasad. And Mahaprasad is God, is Krishna, it's Jagannath. You can't be higher than Mahaprasad. So everyone sits on the floor so that the leaf player is higher. God has to be higher, given higher respect. You understand? Second point is because in the eyes of the Lord, everyone is equal. Therefore, we don't have brahmacharis, sannyasis, women, gurus in separate categories. Everyone sits together because you're all equal in the eyes of the Lord. When you're not in front of the Lord, then you may have these different categories. But when you're in front of God, there's no categories. You're all equal. Doesn't matter what your external designation is, because your internal designation is Nitya Krishna Das. So your main question was how to keep people interested in our Dharma. That is to give the true actual understanding. Because it in itself, it is Sat Chit Ananda. It's full of knowledge, full of bliss. You don't have to attract people to it. It's a natural thing. They're automatically attracted to it. Because we're all spiritual beings. Everyone agree that we're all spiritual? When we say we're spiritual, what does it mean? It means that I'm not of this world. I come from the spiritual realm. If I'm in America and someone says I'm Indian, means he comes from India. If someone says he's from Pakistan, he comes from Pakistan. If we say we're spiritual, we come from the spiritual world. That means this is not our home. So we are of the spiritual nature. Therefore, we will automatically be attracted to that which is spiritual because there will be a harmony there. We'll be vibrating at the same rate. Just like a fish is in harmony with his atmosphere of water. But you take the fish out of the water and put him in the Lok Sabha and make him Prime Minister of India, he's not going to be happy. Put him back in the water, now he's satisfied. Same with us. The reason we're all here today is because we do not find full satisfaction in material life. We've all come to the situation where we're thinking there must be something better to life than just working 9 to 5, trying to pay the bills, feed the belly, take care of the family. There must be more to life than this. There has to be a greater dimension. And so we come in search of the truth, looking for some spiritual substance, and when we come in contact with it, it resonates. It strikes a chord, and we're in harmony with that. So you just have to present the real thing to people. Yeah, and the most important thing is you have to present who you are. Who you are. Because you're going to say to them, if you chant Hare Krishna and follow the process, you're going to become completely blissful and a pure devotee. They're going to say, well, they're going to look at you and say, are you a pure devotee? Are you purely blissful? Because if you're, that's what you're telling me is the goal. But are you there? If you're not, you got a problem. Then why are you saying these things? So we have to attract people by explaining to them that this is a process by which they can come to understand who they really are and to establish their relationship with the supreme creator of everything, the supreme, the source, the supreme lover, the supreme knowledge, the supreme power of everything. Ishvara Parama Krishna. Ishvara Parama, that means there are so many Ishwaras. Lord Brahma is an Ishvara. Indra is an Ishvara. Shivji is Ishvara. But who is the Ishvara of the Ishvaras? The Paramishvara. He's the controller of all the other controllers, is Krishna. Ishvara Parama Krishna, Sat Chit Ananda Vigraha. His Vigraha is Sat Chit Ananda. It's eternal, full of conscious knowledge, full of blissful ecstasy. Our Vigraha is Asat, Achit, and Nirananda. So we mistakenly think that every Vigraha is Asat, Achit, and Nirananda. This is the philosophy of a great many people in India. Because my Vigraha is like that, then God's must also be like that. Is that logical? Is that a logical conclusion to come to? No, it's not a logical conclusion. Because I'm a man, therefore that woman is also a man? Is that logical? No, that's crazy. So they're thinking that God must be nirakar, because those who have an akar, we're suffering, we're in maya. So free from maya must be nirakar. Is that logical? No, that's not even logical. It's just a speculation. There's no logic to it. So in our shastra, the logical explanation is given in Bhagavad Gita that reality, Krishna compares to a tree on a little lake. And in the lake, the water is reflected, the tree. The real tree is growing with the roots down and the branches and fruits upwards. And in the reflected tree, the roots are at the top, and going down is the top of the tree. In other words, it's backwards, right? You look at yourself in the mirror, everything's backward. If you're not sure, just hold up a page from a book, and you can't read it in the mirror because it's all backwards. So Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita that this world is simply a reflection of the reality. It's a back-to-front, opposite, perverted reflection. This is called pratibimba, a reflection. Now, it's a distorted reflection because when the wind blows on the water, the reflection is distorted. So we're living in a distorted reflection of reality. But we're thinking that this is all in all. Or we're thinking this is illusion. But these are just ideas or philosophies that come from different places. But where should we accept our philosophy from? Who should we accept as our authority? That is the question. Once we decide who is our authority, who we will accept knowledge from, then our problem is solved. We do not accept authority from anyone who speaks something that's illogical. So I've traveled to many different mutts, many different ashrams, and what they say is not logical. And I explained to them, what you're just saying does not make sense, requires blind faith to believe it. Just like, for example, they like to say, am I going off the topic here? Or should I go on? Go on, okay. They like to say that we're all God, but we have forgotten that we're God. But when you come to reality, then you realize that actually you're God. So I said, well, how is it that I've forgotten that I'm God? God doesn't have such a good memory. So the example that was given to me says, well, supposing you have some paper in your pocket, and you look in this pocket, you look in that pocket, you can't find it. Finally, in the last pocket, you find it. Ah. So in this way, we've forgotten that we're God, but in the end, we realize that we're God. But it's ridiculous, because if God is defined as omniscient, he knows everything, past, present, and future, then he doesn't forget. So it's a false argument, but people accept this false argument. Here's another false argument. You have a pot with water in it, and it's on the ocean, and we are that pot, and the Atma is a little water in the pot. And when you crack that pot, the water from the pot merges with the ocean, and this way is how we become God. Now, is that a good analogy? That's the one they use. But a true analogy means it has to have consequence with the actual substance that we're speaking about, spirit. Does spirit and water have the same qualities? If they don't, then it's a false analogy. Would you say that spirit is closer to light than it is to water? Yes or no? Let's take the same analogy. You have a pot. You have the sun shining in it. Okay? Now we cover that pot. And we run into a dark room. And we open it up. Do we see light in there? No. Because you can't separate light energy from the source, from the sun. Those sun rays, those sunbeams, they come all the way to India and into our home through the window. But we can't block it off. We can't separate it. So this whole idea of the pot and the separation doesn't work, because light can't be separated from its source, neither can spirit be separated from its source. We are all connected to Krishna, but we're simply covered, that's all. And we can't see the connection. But as soon as we become uncovered, we see the connection immediately. And how do we become uncovered? By opening up the heart chakra. By opening up the heart chakra. Within that heart, within everyone's heart in this room, within everyone's heart out in Bombay, everyone's heart over the whole planet is pure divine love. But it's covered. You could say that it's in jail and can't get out, you see? So what is it that's blocking that divine love from coming out? Those are all the negative thoughts we have, the selfish desires that we have, all the ignorance that we sometimes think of and speak of. And every one of these negative thoughts, these anartas, unwanted things, which are impure, is another brick in the wall separating us from Krishna. But actually, we're not separated, because Krishna is right here in our heart. But we just can't perceive him, that's all. It's like we're blind. So what's the process to come to understand and to see Krishna again? Who knows that secret mystical process? I'll give you a hint. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. You should understand that this is the process. Cheto Darpana Marjanam, we need to clean the mirror of the heart. Because right now the mirror of our heart is full of dirt and grime of our material selfish desires and negative thoughts and feelings towards other people. And some of the negative activities that we do that harm other living entities. That covers the mirror of the heart. Now, if you have a mirror that's covered with mud, you don't see your reflection. So when you clean the mirror, then you see your reflection. Similarly, when you cleanse the mirror of the heart with the Maha Mantra, then you see who you really are. That I am Nitya Krishna Das. I was always there. It was always a connection with Krishna. But it was just simply covered and I couldn't see. That's just all. Take away the covering and now I can see. Cheto Darpana Marjanam Mahadavagni Nirvapanam. So this material energy that's covering our heart is causing our suffering. It's like a blazing forest fire. A forest fire cannot be put out by any human being. The only thing you can do is contain it so that it doesn't spread any further, but you can't put it out. You know how they contain it? They go miles away from the center, and they cut down all the trees, and they just have dirt there. So when the fire comes to that place, there's nothing more to burn. So it's contained and then goes out of its own accord. But Krishna, if he wants, he can send a cloud, a monsoon cloud, which rains and extinguishes the fire. So this Maha Mantra is non-different than Krishna, and it's like a monsoon cloud that puts out the forest fire of illusion, of Maya Shakti that's covering our hearts so that we can see that we're actually Nitya Krishna Das. And then Anandam Buddhi Vardhanam, when we experience that, our hearts become filled with ecstasy. And that ecstasy is ever increasing. Just like I gave that shloka. Raja Vidya Raja Guyam Pavitram Idam Uttamam Pratyakshavagamam Dharmyam Susukam Kartum Avyayam Pratyakshavagamam Dharmyam. This dharma is directly perceived from within the heart. It's not some knowledge you get from outside. You pay some money and the guru gives you some knowledge. This is crazy. This is not even logical. It's a cheating process because it's material. Now they've taken spiritual life and made it something material. But it's a mystical process that all of a sudden it's revealed from within your heart. How does that happen? Bhagavad Gita again. Sarvasya chaham hridi sannivishto matasmitir jnanam apoanam cha. Krishna says, I am seated in everyone's heart. Krishna is in every one of your heart. Matasmitir jnanam apohanam cha. And from me comes remembrance, from me comes knowledge, but also from me comes forgetfulness. So there's three shaktis that Krishna has from within our heart. He gives us jnana shakti, so that we have some knowledge. The smriti shakti, so we can remember who we are, what is our actual position. Or the apohan shakti, where we're covered over and we forget that we're spirit. And we think that I am this body and I can enjoy this material energy. But everyone who's in this room knows you can't enjoy the material energy and that's why you're here. Because if you thought you could enjoy this material energy, you'd be out at the cinema. You'd be out doing those things, but trying to enjoy material energy. But we're here because we're trying to connect with the spiritual energy. The Sat-Chit Ananda energy, because we're also Sat-Chit Ananda. So this chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra is what cleanses the heart. Therefore, Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. So Pratyakshavagamam Dharmam, this dharma is directly perceived from the heart, susukam kartum, and it is joyfully performed. Joyfully performed. Susukam kartum avyayam. Avyayam means that it's inexhaustible. There's no end to it. This anand goes on and on, increasing more and more and more. And that is our natural constitutional position as spiritual beings. Suffering is unnatural. That's why we don't like it. death is unnatural. That's why we don't like it. Old age is unnatural. That's why we try and cover it up. Disease is unnatural. No one likes it. Because spiritual world, there is no, these things aren't there. You have an ever youthful body, spiritual body. This material body is simply the reflection of the pure spiritual body that you see in that lake. But it's a distorted reflection. You have a mango tree. Then you have a shadow and you have a reflection. From the real mango tree, you can get mangoes. You can taste it. You can enjoy it. From the shadow of the mango tree, you can see the shadow of the mango, but you can't taste it. There's nothing there. It's just a shadow. The reflection is even worse because it's distorted. You don't even see the real shape of the mango. And when you put your hand in, it's just water. So our understanding of reality comes directly from Krishna. All of us are in this world, trapped in this world as if we're in jail. Perhaps you never thought of it, but let me give you an analogy. We're in this huge universe, and in this universe there are so many galaxies. And in every galaxy there are so many stars, millions of stars and suns. And amongst all those galaxies is our galaxy called the Milky Way. And in this galaxy, there are so many millions of stars and suns, and amongst all those stars and suns is our sun. And surrounding that sun, whirling around it, are so many planets, and amongst one of those planets is our Earth. And our Earth is surrounded by an atmosphere of air, which we breathe. And then surrounding that, outside that, is the Van Allen radiation belt, which means no one can escape. Because if you do, you fry like an egg. This is proof that they never went to the moon, because in the 1960s, they didn't know about those radiation belts. So they had a hoax. We went to the moon. But anyone who passes through that radiation belt comes out a fried egg. Really. Or a fried human being. So we're trapped. We can't get out. So who's trapped us there? And how do we get out? You can't get out materially. And even spiritually, if we were to realize our spiritual self, where would we go? We don't know where to go. The only way we can get back to Krishna is if Krishna comes and takes us back. Because he knows where to go. Because there are so many universes. The scientists are thinking that we have this gigantic universe which is infinite. They have no idea that there are infinite number of universes. And you know why? Because they're on the inside trying to look out. But they can't. They use telescopes to try and get to the other edge, to the outer edge of our universe. But they can't see outside. All they can see is what's inside. But the knowledge coming from Krishna is coming from outside. Krishna is bringing his knowledge. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata. Sometimes I come myself, sometimes I send my representative, the pure Mahatma, to give you knowledge from outside. Because you're all locked inside and you can't see what is outside. Nobody can see what is outside. No scientist, no telescope, nothing. Because they can't see the end. How they can see outside. So the knowledge of what's outside has only come from outside. And that knowledge is given in Bhagavad Gita. Now, there are so many translations and commentaries on Bhagavad Gita, is it not? Have we seen so many different commentaries in Bhagavad Gita? Yes? But is Bhagavad Gita poetry? Is it a poem that we're meant to pull out our own meaning? Or is it a conversation between two people on a battlefield that takes place for 1 hour and one person's trying to convince the other person to fight? Is that what Bhagavad Gita is? That's what it is, isn't it? Arjuna doesn't want to fight, and Krishna is trying to explain to him, you have to fight. Vinashaya chaduskritam. Because we have to destroy those who are disturbing society, those demoniac negative influences. And the sadhunam, we want to protect the sadhunam. We want you to fight on behalf of the sadhus. So Krishna is trying to get Arjuna to fight when he doesn't want to fight. So Srila Prabhupada explained to us that the real meaning of Bhagavad Gita is the meaning that Arjuna got. Whatever Arjuna understood from that conversation, that is the meaning that Krishna is giving. You can't give any other meaning because it's actually happened. And Krishna had a purpose for speaking that Gita. So anyone who follows in the footsteps of Arjuna and accepts the Gita as Arjuna accepts it, that is the real understanding that Krishna has given. Any other understanding is our own understanding, where we twist some other meaning out of it. Just like, for example, there are so many people in India that believe that everything is Maya and at the end we merge and we become God. Right? Is it not? You've all heard this, right? Now they have to come up with a philosophy to substantiate that. How do they come up with a philosophy to substantiate that? Well, they go to the end. The conclusion is we merge and we become all God. Okay? Now let's go backwards to all the shastras and twist the meaning so that it comes to that conclusion. That's what they do. They twist all the meanings so it comes to this conclusion. But if we don't twist the meanings, that's called gonavritti, the indirect or twisted meaning. And mukhavritti means the direct meaning. If you just look at the direct meaning of the shastras, you come to the conclusion that Krishna is Svayam Bhagavan and our goal of life is to return back and serve him eternally. But twisted or gonavritti, you come with a different conclusion because they start off with a different conclusion and work backwards to get to that result. That's how you do anything. If you want to present any philosophy to someone, you present your conclusion and work backwards on all the points so that they all fit in to come to your conclusion. Everybody does it. It's called the cheating process. That's how you sell things. That's how you convince someone that this is the best item, you should buy this. So what we have to do is really present the genuine thing to people. This is Bhagavad Gita, spoken by Krishna. He is the Supreme Lord. And he has so much love for us that he's willing to tolerate all our ignorance, birth after birth, life after life. When we reject him, we speak bad about him, we turn our back on him, but still he's not feeling inconvenienced. Still his love is there, and he's doing everything he can to reestablish our relationship with him. Therefore, Krishna is called our best friend. Because no matter what we do, no matter how foolish we are, how ignorant we are, how negative we are, Krishna never takes it into account. He's just waiting for us to finally come to our senses and to reestablish our relationship. So what does yoga mean? You know the word yoga? Who knows the meaning of the word yoga? Yes. Connection. Any other word? United. Any other word? Linking. Everybody agree that this is the meaning of yoga? So all these words mean union, right? Union with Krishna. Now I'm going to give you a deeper understanding. Yoga means reunion. Reunion. We left, now we're going back. Back to home, back to Godhead. Reunite with Krishna. Because we were originally with Krishna. He created us. The Son is reuniting with the Father. If he leaves and goes away, then he comes back. It's not union, it's reunion. So when we explain all these things in a very nice, gentle way to people and show them the way that how the process, step by step, how they can reunite with Krishna and at the end of this life not come back in samsara, but to go and enter into the eternal realm where they have an eternally youthful body, engaged in eternal loving exchanges with the Supreme Lover, where every word is a song. Every word is a song. That's how Krishna speaks. Sarva dharman puritya ja mamikang sharanang vaja ahang twang sarva papebhyo mokshayishyami ma suchaha. That's how they speak in the spiritual world. Every word is a song. They sing. And every step is a dance. Have you seen Bharatanatyam? Who has seen Bharatanatyam? This is how Shiva takes his steps. This is how Shiva walks. Bharatanatyam. Who's seen Odissi dance? That's how Krishna walks. Tribhangananda. So every step is a dance. Every thought is a thought of love. What can I do for you? How can I please you? And every act is an act of devotion, bhakti. Because I'm devoted to the person that I love. You know, in this verse, sarva dharman paritya ja, mam ekang sharanam vaja. What does mam ekang mean? I hear murmurs, but nothing concrete. Mam means... Ekong means one. Krishna is saying, make me number one in your life. Sarva dharman paritya ja. Sarva means all, dharma means dharma. He's speaking to Arjuna. 5,000 years ago, he's saying, sarva dharma paritya ja. What dharma are we talking about 5,000 years ago? Is that Vedic dharma? He's saying, all your Vedic dharma, paritya ja, forget it. All your kshatriya dharma, brahmin dharma, stri dharma, vaishya dharma, shudra dharma, brahmachari dharma, sannyas dharma, forget it. Sarva dharma paritya ja. Mam ekang sharanam, you surrender and make me number one. Mam ekang sharanam vraja. Raja is the imperative sense. He's not asking a question. He's giving a command. You do this. Make me number one. Well, why does Krishna want to be number one in you? I mean, everybody wants to be number one, right? But is Krishna like that? He says, you make me number one. But why does he want you to make him number one? Not because he wants to be famous. Why does he want to be number one in your life? You have to know these things, because if you don't know, you can't explain to people and you can't share what you know. Krishna wants to be number one in your life because you are number one in his life. And that's called love. When I make you number one and you make me number one, we have a loving relationship. Is that right? So Krishna says, you're already number one in my life. You always were, birth after birth after birth. Now you make me number one in your life. But Krishna, he knows birth after birth after birth, you've not made him number one. That's why samsara, Over and over again, you're coming, taking birth again and again. You didn't make Krishna number one in your life. So he says, I'm going to give you a good deal. If you make me number one in your life, ahang tuang sarva papebhyo, I will take away all your pap karmas, all your sinful reactions. Sarva papebhyo. Sarva means all the pap karmas from the past that we have to suffer, all the pap karmas from the present that we have to suffer, and all the pap karmas from the future that we haven't committed yet but are lying in seed in our heart as negative sinful desires, selfish desires. Krishna says, make me number one, I clean your slate and you're 100% clean. No more karma. Is that a good deal for us? Do you think we should make Krishna number one in our life? But you know, Krishna, he's abhijna. He's fully cognizant. He knows everything, past, present, and future. So he knows even that will not convince you. So he has to give you a bonus. Moksha ishami. Not only I clean all your karma, but I'll give you moksha, that you can come and enter into my nitya lila to serve me and we'll serve one another into the lila forever and ever according to your qualities. Anupam saiva papebhyo moksha ishami. Now is that a good deal for us? If we make Krishna number one, look what he's going to do. Who agrees that that's a good deal for us? But how many people are making Krishna number one in their life? Arjuna did. But most of us, we're having difficulty. The family is number one. The children are number one. Maybe the business is number one. Who knows? Krishna's number two, number three. But he doesn't like to be number two or number three. He really wants to be number one. That's why he's saying, look, let's make a deal. You make me number one, I'll wipe away all your pap karmas, I'll give you moksha. I'll give you moksha. You can come enter into my nitya lila forever and ever. I'm giving you a good deal. Krishna says. Then he says, Masuchaha. What does Masuchaha mean? Have no fear, right? We're not going for the deal because we're fearful. What does that mean? It means we have doubts. Masuchaha means have no doubt. Why do we have doubts? Krishna's saying, here's the deal. And I'm not going for it. What does it mean? It means I don't trust Krishna. That's why my doubts are there. Masuchaha, Krishna says, have no doubt. The positive way of saying have no doubt is trust me. Right? Krishna is saying, trust me. That's what he's saying. Trust me. And we don't trust Krishna. But Krishna knows that you don't trust him. He knows that. He's abhijna. He knows everything, past, present, and future. So he says to Arjuna, you convince them. Name bhakta pranashyati. My devotee will never be vanquished, never be destroyed, never be cheated. They don't trust me, but Arjuna, you say it. And Arjuna says it. Because he became convinced. He made Krishna number one. So understanding Gita means understanding and following in the footsteps of Arjuna and having his understanding. So this is what we have to convey to people. And then we follow exactly the way Krishna does it. Then after explaining all this, Krishna says to Arjuna, now I have explained everything for your benefit. Only for your benefit. Then he says, now you can do as you please. You have freedom of choice. I've given you freedom of choice, so you can do what you think is best. There's never any force. So we did what we thought was best. We didn't take the deal. And again, punarjanma. Everybody in this audience can read and write, yes? Yes? Everyone in this audience has been to school and got their degree, correct? Let me tell you something. If you don't go back to Krishna in this life, you'll have to take birth again. And when you do, you're going to have to learn to read and write all over again. Really? Every time you take birth, again, you have to learn caw, caw, gaw, gaw. I already knew that in my last 100 lives. Well, you forgot it. You have to do it again. You have to not only have to learn how to read and write, you have to learn how to talk. You have to learn how to walk. You have to learn how to go to the toilet. Really? You spend your first 2 years of your life learning how to walk, talk, and go to the toilet, which you already know how to do. Birth after birth, you learn these things over and over and over and over again. But still, we don't trust Krishna. Still, we won't make him number one. Therefore, Prabhupada said, if we don't accept the teachings of Krishna, if we don't accept what he says, then we are fool number one. Instead of becoming beloved number one, we become fool number one because we have to take birth again and learn how to walk, learn how to talk, learn how to go to the toilet, learn how to put on my dhoti, how to tie a sari, how to put on tilak, how to read and write, how to earn a living, how to support a family. I have to learn this over again and again and again and again and again and again. Just imagine that there's a movie, and it's a movie of this couple who refuse to accept Krishna as number one, and they keep taking birth in different bodies, and they're learning these things over and over again, birth after birth. You see them now, they're in Marathi body, then Gujarati body, then Nepali body, then they take birth in African body, then Chinese body, and they're learning to walk and talk and go to the toilet every birth, learning to read and write, birth after birth. It's a comedy. We'd all be laughing at this movie, isn't it? But the star is us. So we have to understand this philosophy. Srila Prabhupada told me, he said, learn the philosophy and speak it in your own words. Because when you speak it in your own words, it means you've understood. If you can't speak it in your own words, it means you have not understood. Anybody can repeat what someone else said. Hare Krishna. Anyone else have a question? Yes, okay.
I have a question.
Oh, Mahaprabhu ki jai. Okay. Yoga of Krishna and yoga of money. Very good question. Krishna says, make me number one. If you make Krishna number one, he'll take care of you. Name bhakta pranashyati. My devotee will never have to do without. Ananyas chintayantamam yejana parupashate tesham abhinitya yuktanam yoga kshemam vaham yaham. So, Krishna says, ananyas chintayantamam, ananya chinta, don't have any other thoughts except for me. That means make me number one. Ananya chintayantamam, just make me number one, no one else number one. Yejana parupashate, any person, anybody, man, woman, child, Chinese, Indian, who worships me in this way, Tesham abinitya, tesham nitya abiyuktanam. That person will always be engaged in my service, yogakshemam, and I will always protect him, baham yaham, and I will preserve whatever he lacks, whatever he has. I will protect him and preserve what he has, and whatever he doesn't have, I'll make sure he gets it. 9:22, 9th chapter, 22 verse. So Krishna says, trust me. If we trust him, he won't let us down. We have to take full faith that Krishna will take care of us. So this was my situation several years back. I've been doing devotional service since the early 70s, took initiation from Srila Prabhupada. But I was always making my own arrangements. I had a little business, always making sure that I was taken care of, my family was taken care of. But then when I got to the age 60, 61, I was thinking, maybe I should make Krishna number one. I should trust Krishna and just surrender and see what happens. So I gave up my business, gave up everything, and I just went traveling and preaching. I did not know if any money would come because I didn't make any arrangements for money. I just said, I can come and do kirtan. Okay, come. I do kirtan and I speak. Sometimes Krishna brings many people. Sometimes only 10 people come. Sometimes they want to purchase CDs. Sometimes they don't want to purchase CDs. I just remain equipoised. Whatever Krishna sends, I will accept. Because this is what I said to Krishna. I'm going to surrender to you. I'm going to trust you. Don't let me down. I quoted that shloka. Yogakshemam baham yaham. You're going to take care of me. Make sure I don't lose anything. And whatever I don't have, you'll make sure I get. Don't forget. That wasn't so nice to say like to Krishna, don't forget. But the wonderful thing was that I experienced that he took care of me. And here I am, just traveling around. No job, no health insurance, nothing. But I have faith in Krishna. Prabhupada once told me, he said, in your previous lives, you've seen everything. You've done everything. You've tasted everything. You've experienced everything of material life. Then he said, you've also been to all the holy places. You've taken your bath in all the holy rivers. You've been to all the yajñas. All the mantras have been done. So this life, you just give to Krishna. Finish your business, go back home, back to Godhead. You've done it all already. In this life, surrender to Krishna and go back to Godhead. That's what Prabhupada said. So after some time, I decided to accept that and test it out. Because I was thinking, I'll test it out. And if it doesn't work, I can always use my intelligence to make some money, start a business, get a job, no problem. But let me test it out. So I tested it out. Krishna took care of me. If you'll take care of me, born in a Mlecha family of meat eaters, just like Prahlad Maharaj, born not in a Vedic family, not in a Brahmin family, not in a family that understood Vedic Dharma, understood Krishna consciousness, but yet Krishna's taking care of me. So just your position is so much better. Your position is so much better that if you'll take care of me, you have nothing to worry about. You'll definitely take care of you. Because you're already a higher position than me, higher level, more dear to Krishna. So if he's taking care of the less dear, definitely he'll take care of more dear. But because we make the yoga of money number one, then Krishna is not doing the deal. No deal, sorry, only works if you make me number one. Money number one, no deal. No ahang twang sarva papebyo, no. No moksha ishyami. You're on your own. Now, some people don't make money number one. They make themselves number one. Me first, everyone else second. No deal, says Krishna. I got to be number one. And rightly so, because he's made you number one. He loves you so much. He just wants some reciprocation. Mothers, you'll relate to this. You have a young child. A child is born. You're doing everything for that child. The child is completely helpless. Feeding that child, cleaning that child, doing everything for that child. Finally, after maybe 2, 3, 4 years, finally, one day, that child comes and says, Ma, I want to give something to you. You remember that, ladies? How your heart just melted? Because now there's some reciprocation of love. The baby's not just taking, 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 but wants to give something back. And tears come to your eyes. So Krishna, he wants that we should give something to him. So here's what we can give Krishna. Krishna is not interested in anything that we have to give him because he has everything in perfection already. But there is one thing that he doesn't have. He doesn't have our heart. Because we're giving our heart everywhere else except to Krishna. So what we want to do is we just want to change our perspective. We're already here following the path of bhakti yoga, not 100%. That's okay. I'm also not 100%. But at least what we want to do now is we want to say to Krishna, thank you. I want to give something back to you. Just like the child, the four-year-old, wants to give something back to the mother to show appreciation. So we want to say thank you to Krishna. Thank you for the air that we breathe, the water that we drink, the food that we eat, the clothing that protects us, shelter from the elements. We want to say thank you. And we want to give Krishna a gift to let him know that we appreciate it. And what is our gift? Our gift is our song, our kirtan. When we're going to sing Hare Krishna, we're going to think that this is my way of thanking Krishna, and my song is my gift to Krishna. Therefore, I will sing from the heart with as much feeling as I can. When we sing from the heart with feeling. That's called a love song. We're going to offer our song of love to Krishna. Because where does Krishna reside in the human body? Is it not in the heart? And bhakti yoga, the yoga of devotion. Devotion comes from the heart. So you see the connection. So we're going to do a kirtan. And we're going to say to Krishna, this is for you. I'm going to sing you my love song. This is my gift to you to say thank you. It's not going to be a mantra. I'm not going to chant a mantra for my benefit. We're finished with that consciousness. We're going to change our consciousness. We're going to be doing the same thing, but we're just going to have a different perspective. Not that I'm chanting some mantra so I can become pure or advanced or free from material energy or I get some mystic cities. That's automatic. That's already there. We don't have to think about it. But we're going to chant a love song. This Hare Krishna mantra is going to become our love song and our gift back to Krishna to thank him for everything he's done for us. And in this way, we can begin to establish our relationship because we have a reciprocation. If we're simply just taking and not giving, there's no reciprocation. And Krishna wants reciprocation. Jayatamam prapadjante tamstataiva bhajamyaham. As you approach me, I reciprocate accordingly, Krishna says. So if we only give 1%, Krishna will reciprocate 1%. That's not bad. It's better than a slap in the face. What if we give 10%? Then Krishna will reciprocate 10%. That's better. But just imagine, what if we were to give Krishna 100%. If we gave Krishna 100%, he would reciprocate 100% with us. Now, whose 100% is more powerful, ours or Krishna's? Is that a good deal for us? If we give our little 100% and he reciprocates his gigantic million-fold 100%, it's good for us, isn't it? So why don't we, in this next kirtan, give 100%? Is that a good idea? Just to let Krishna know that we care and to say thank you. Where's that mic for the harmonium?